Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham. Joining me this evening, we have Matt Knight.
Hello.
Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Brenton.
Hello.
I almost forgot your name then for some reason.
Me?
Yeah, I don't know why.
That's terrible.
You're the most important one.
I know. I wasn't here last week and I was listening to it and you said, I've got a really funny name for Jay, but not for either of you.
The funny name will feature in the Patreon episode this week.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Sell.
He's reeling them in.
Yeah, that's good.
It actually wasn't going to be in that, but I forgot to say it this week. So we'll do it in the Patreon episode. You can join us there. How is everyone? Matt Knight, how's things?
Good.
Joining us from the internet.
Yes, I'm joining from internet land again. It's very good. It's very sunny and very warm here in internet world.
What have you been up to this week?
Nothing guitar related, sort of. I went to a classic car show yesterday with a lot of American cars and was picking out all the fender colours from all the Cadillacs and Chevys that were there.
Nice. What did you see?
Shell pink.
Yeah.
Best one. Seafoam green, sonic blue, black.
Classic.
Not sunburst. Not really a great car colour. But there was some crazy cars there in awesome colours, and I was like, man, there needs to be more guitars in these colours, like crazy, like blue bursts and things like that. That was quite good. Unfortunately, nothing guitar related. I've only played guitar for about half an hour this week.
Do you remember when Fender actually made a car?
No.
What?
I say made a car, I think.
When did Fender make a car?
I think, and you might want to look this up, they did a partnership with Volkswagen for a Fender Beetle.
Yeah, we saw... No, was it a Beetle or was it a Mini? We saw it. We were driving somewhere, you and me. I think we were on tour. And we were like, what's going on with that?
I think it was a Beetle. I think.
I would be surprised if it was a Mini, don't really have a lot to do with the sort of the heritage. Well, not that a German car brand does either.
I think it was something more like a Golf or something like that.
Maybe. Matt.
Really, really annoyingly, if you try and search anything with like Fender
and the word car,
all you get is car Fender.
comes up with bumpers, which is what they're actually called. Matt, while you were searching that, Jay, what have you been up to this week?
What have I done this week? I played a couple of gigs.
You did
I
play
guess.
Some gigs for the first time in a long time.
First time in ages, yeah.
How many years since you've done a gig?
I did one last year. And a couple of years. Yeah, but I've not done. It's weird because I just haven't been in a band that's sort of done anything for ages.
No.
I played a couple of gigs last week. That was really cool. I used Joe's Orange Obi-Wan 500.
How did you get on?
I used your Obi-Wan 500 for the first show, and for the second show, the bass player in one of the other bands had an Obi-Wan 300.
I think I noticed in the video that I saw of you guys playing that there were two.
Yeah, and so I used his. I used the 300. I think I prefer the 300, sorry.
Really? Less? Didn't want the headroom?
I didn't need the headroom. No. It was just... Just give me the gain.
Yeah, fair enough.
It sounded great though. It was really, really good. As it happens, the person who had the other head works for Orange.
So, all right. Yeah. Oh, I wonder if I know this fellow then, because
Rob.
Yeah, Rob is one of the head technicians there. He Rob repaired My guitarist,
your TH30,
Rocker 30.
Yeah, we had him. We had a chat about it.
Oh, did we? Oh, yes. Amazing.
No, we didn't. Me and him did.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
All right.
So yeah, it was really good. Rob, really cool. I mean, obviously, everyone who works for Orange is super cool.
So, what was your experience with the 300 and the 500? Why would you prefer the 300? Most bass players, I would assume, would say that it was worth spending the extra to get more volume.
But I mean, the 300 was plenty loud enough, okay. I thought. And it was, it was DI'd as well.
Do you know what cab you were going through?
It was just some Ash. No, it was a Trace, I think.
Right, what, 410?
Yeah.
So it was probably 8 ohm. I'm just trying to work out if you were getting the 300 watts or if you were actually playing through 190 watts.
I can't remember.
If it's one of those big old Trace 410s, if it was ported, it's probably 4 ohm.
Which might be why you'd think the 300 was enough. Like, if you were just going through a conventional amp and you're only drawing half of that. I'd be, as loud as Orange are, I would be surprised if a 300 watt head at 8 ohms was punk worthy, I guess.
Really? I mean, I only had it up...
It might be.
I mean, punks play quiet, I think.
Really? I only had it up at... the master volume was... only like halfway,
really.
Okay. And the gain was most of the way around. I had the gain probably at like 3 o'clock, and the master was probably halfway.
I see.
So yeah, and it was there was a Sans amp and a bass, the Boss bass driver as well. So and it was plenty loud. I mean, it was a smallish, like 200 cap venue or something, but it was super loud, really really loud. That said, when I played at the other show that I did, I used your one and I used it through an Ampeg 810 and it sounded unbelievable.
Yeah, drawing the full 500 watts from one of those.
It sounded amazing. That sounded absolutely phenomenal. That was on the stage and I was on the floor, right. And like halfway through I was like, God, like I'm really loud, like I must be louder than everyone else. And then I realised actually I was just at direct ear level.
I think it might be the perfect punk amp, I think, those Obi-Wans, just being solid state and being so like mid-heavy and so honky.
My thoughts on it are like solid state, unless you can go for like a full SVT, like massive with loads of output valves and stuff, solid state is way better than if you go for something with like a valve pre.
Yeah, I think so
just
as well.
Works. Faster response, more snappy, a bit more aggressive.
I'd rather have like an Orange 8200 or a Fender Super Bassman.
Yeah,
probably the Fender Super, the 300 watt full valve. But like
That's nearly $2,000.
I don't want to carry it either. No. You know, is the other thing. So it's
$2,000 of chiropody. No, that's feet, isn't it?
No one knows what you're saying.
Osteopathy.
That's the one.
Dentistry.
Yeah. Yeah, that.
Ornithology.
Chiropractor bills.
Who's
Bill? So, good. Well, that's just...
That's what I did this week. Good. I also, normally when I change my guitar, I changed my guitar strings yesterday. That was really fun.
So did Whoa. I.
Normally when I do it, I remember to shut the cat out and I forgot to do that. So the cat was trying to eat the strings as they were dangling around. Did you have that problem when you were looking after my cat, Matt?
No, I remember to keep the cat.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I must admit, I don't change my strings like that regularly. Only the part I play the most I tend to change the strings on. But I bought some of those Dear Dario NYXLs.
Oh, did you? How are you getting on with them?
Yeah, they're really good. I finally got around to putting them on because I couldn't decide what... put them on and I put them on the telly and they sound really really good.
Do they sound darker?
They feel a bit tighter and they feel like they've got a bit more punch, and I think that's to do with the kind of core on them, but I don't really know, to be honest. I think I'm just going to stick with balanced tensions, but they are definitely a good set of strings.
That's cool. I put the I've gone with balanced tensions the last couple of times, but I went back to Old Faithful and went with the coated power slinkies because you don't have to change them regularly.
Yeah, they're very very good.
Speaking of strings, I think guitar shops everywhere in the UK. I think next week. I think it's all guitar shops. Matt, you might know, but Dunlop are kind of launching, or they're already available, but they're trying to put some promotion into their Super Brights, mm-hmm. the strings that they do. So I don't know what day it is. Check it up with sort of your local guitar
shop.
Check
your local retailer.
Hmm. But and it might be different for each retailer. So I don't know. It might all be on the same day. But the gist is, if you bring in a pack of strings that you've an empty pack of strings essentially, or used yeah. strings, bring them into your guitar shop and they will give you a set of Super Brights.
Really?
It's only happening on one day.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. That's like the cold beer amnesty that Carling used to do.
Oh, that is what they're calling it. They are calling it the Dunlop String amnesty.
Really? Yeah. Okay. They always used to do that, the cold beer amnesty, at Reading Festival when Reading and Leeds were sponsored by Carling. I mean,
good old days.
I can't
think. Oh, I think I remember that. What? Yeah, you could just bring a crap warm beer.
Yeah. So like, people used to go to the couple of years I went, people would go to like the Waitrose down the road from Reading Festival, buy like cheap stubbies, and then just take them straight. I mean, quite how you're trading up to Carling.
I don't know what's worse. I think I'd rather have a stubby.
I'd definitely rather have a stubby.
I would definitely rather have a stubby. So I've got a load of regular slinkies knocking around. Can I just take all the strings out and then bring those packs in?
It might be worth, just go out and in and out and in. Bring a handful of disguises and...
I mean, I've got some chin putty and a stick-on nose.
Oh, hello, I'd like to... hey, sir. I don't know what that is.
Very good, very good.
Is that the voice that Bart Simpson does?
Yeah.
Is it Bart Simpson? Yeah.
It is, yeah, he wears the chin putty. That's the episode where he's going to buy Bonestorm.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he doesn't go to buy it. He's previously got caught for stealing it, and then he has to go back for the family
photo.
Such
that's
a good
right.
episode.
That is a great episode.
Yeah. Oh, we should do a Simpsons podcast. It's so good. Anyway, Joe Brandon, what have you been up to?
I'm recovering from a 3-day drinking binge, so I'm...
Sweet.
I'm,
that's
I'm,
why you're quite... utterly, utterly useless today.
Yeah, I feel absolutely terrible. But, all good. ArcTangent Festival is next week, so I'm really looking forward to that. I've decided to get my right arm tattooed, and it's obviously quite expensive. So
really? Don't you want to be covering up... The left one.
The rubbish
one that I've got on my left, yeah. I probably should have done that first, but, I'll just sort of keep the crap and just add some more, I thought.
But when you described this new tattoo you're getting to me, I was just like, that sounds just as bad as your other one.
The Grim Reaper.
That's it.
It's going to be amazing.
Do you drive a purple van around town that's got a airbrush picture of a woman with big knockers fighting a dragon?
It's not that sort. It's like super traditional Grim Reaper. Anyway, so tattoos are expensive, so I was trying to look at some ways to raise some money, and I was selling some... Obviously, I've sold a few bases and stuff. I am completely settled on that jazz bass that I bought.
Okay.
The lacquer finish one. It's great.
Oh, did you... Have you got that?
Yeah. Did I not say that?
You didn't have it last week.
Oh, yeah. I've got it now. Tweed hard case. Sunburst.
Nice.
Nitro finish.
That's a really,
jazz bass.
Really, really cool bass.
Are you going to be using that this week? You've got some shows coming up.
I'm playing tomorrow, in Brighton. Okay. And then ArcTangent, I'll use them both. Yeah, I'm playing the Green Door Store.
Are you? Mm. Oh, cool. I'm busy. I might come to that.
Do. Patchwork Natives and Axes and Body Hound.
Oh, yeah, Axes are great.
Are Body Hound as good as Body Count?
I don't know. I don't know Body Count.
What?
Body
what
Count is...
Ice-T's band. New metal band.
Oh, amazing.
They did that song Cop Killer.
Pioneers of
better
rap
you
metal.
Than me.
Wow, that sounds amazing. I need to get that. But anyway, so I need to get some money. So I got hold of my friend who runs a function band, and I managed to... He needed a bass player for a couple of shows. Unfortunately, one of them is like next week.
Okay. How many of the songs don't you know?
I don't know. Probably... over half.
Okay.
But and it's two sets of 30 songs as well,
and they are a Primus themed wedding band. So
he sent me the list, and I was like, okay, and this is sort of the interesting bit of that story. He's messaged me the list, and I was like, okay, are there any key changes or anything I need to be aware of? And he was like all of them are in E.
What?
Yeah, they're like, they've moved every song to E, and they downtune half a step.
Cool. That's
what?
Great.
What?
Yeah,
That sounds perfect.
Just to keep it easy. But he was like, oh, I've got a really specific range that I can sing in.
Oh, God.
So he's moved every single song into E.
So does that mean that, like, in songs where there should be a key change, there's, like, not a key change?
I don't know.
Do they do Living on a Prayer?
No, he said... Yeah,
there's just no key change.
There were a couple of things where he said where we don't... Oh, they changed the formula to the songs and do verse, chorus, middle eight, double chorus, and that is how they do more or less every song.
If I was paying for this wedding band...
I know!
I'd be like...
I'm getting...
What?!
I'm getting, bear in mind, it's like a it's like a five piece. I'm getting £200 for doing that. So it's not even a cheap session band.
What's this wedding band called?
I don't know, mate.
Okay,
no,
I want
to. Oh, no, wait. Frankie and
Careful,
Louis.
Careful, you don't want to be.
What's it called?
Frankie and Louis.
Okay. It sounds utterly, utterly bizarre.
No, they're great. I've seen them before. They're really good.
Did you not notice at the time? Is it like that CD In the Mix 96 where every song just goes into the next one? And it's like ill easy to do because they're all. Is the tempo all exactly the same as well?
Probably. Well, actually, the reason that I'm playing is because their drummer can't make it, so their bass player is playing drums.
Okay. Oh,
do they do, like... I really want there to be something, like, really complicated. Like, do they do Bohemian Rhapsody? But they're like, I've got a much better idea of how this song can go. I've got a much better structure.
You know what this band should be called? The D Sharps.
Yeah, nice.
Very, very good. Anything else, Joe Brownton? Anything else happened this week?
I think that's about it.
Okay, in that case, I've got two things that I can talk about that have happened to me this week. One is very simple. One is a bit personal and slightly disgusting. Which one would you all rather hear?
Oh, the personal is slightly disgusting one.
Matt Knight?
Oh, yes.
J-Cross?
Yeah.
So... this week I made probably the biggest upgrade to my guitar tone that I've done in like 10 years by going to the doctor and getting my ears syringed.
Oh, this isn't the story I was hoping for.
No, it's not that disgusting. I don't think it's that disgusting. But, man, the world has changed. Like, I'm living in colour, whereas before I was purely black and white.
Really? Your hearing's changed the way you see things?
Yeah, it really has. That's that's my story for this week. It's
so are you happy at it? I can't believe you worked for a headphone company and your ears were so blocked up.
I know. Basically, I've just been lying my way through the first 6 months. Like, yeah, I know, it sounds great. I don't know. No. That feels like I've bought like a new pedal or something so I can actually hear top end. If anything... The Echoplex.
You've had the make gooder.
Yeah, I've had an Echoplex put into my brain. No. If anything, I had to dial treble back on everything. Like, Jay, you're sitting next to that my amp now. Look where the treble control is.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's at like 9 o'clock.
Yeah, it's really, really far back because that amp is, turns out, super bright. Anyway... Matt Knight, only one bit of news this week, which you're going to talk about, but... Joe, do you want to do the jingle?
Nudes.
Indeed. So, Matt, this week the only bit of news is Godlike have announced a new cable. Do you want to talk about it?
Oh, exciting times.
It's really, really barren for news at the moment. Like, we're clearly between Summer Nam and anything else.
Yeah, between things happening and Winter Nam. It's quite a good idea, but it is a little bit boring, but it is a good idea. Basically, if you build pedal boards and you don't use the solderless cable stuff like Lava or Planet Waves or anything like that, it is basically a cable end that you can solder yourself where the actual jack plug itself pivots 180 degrees.
So the point of this is that you can essentially use it in loads of different situations. You could use it for like a regular guitar cable or you could use it on a pedal board.
Yeah. Yeah. It basically just means that if you've got something like an ES8, for example, where the jack spacing is obviously quite tight, if you use the big, make your own cables with a normal quarter inch jack plug, they do sit too tight. And if you don't want them... pointing straight, you can angle them slightly up or down, so if you've got odd pedals, and obviously it's a really, really good quality jack, so you know it is a really good idea. I've actually got a MIDI cable with a similar thing when I had a bit more of a complex MIDI setup, but yeah, it's a good idea, and if you're really into soldering your own cables, then it's probably going to solve a lot of issues.
Are they selling are they selling the actual cable itself, or do they just sell the end?
No, you can sell the well, you can buy a cable preloaded with the pivot plug, or you can buy just the ends on their own. And they actually come in four types: pivot all, which goes 180 degrees, straight compression, which is a slightly small jack, or just standard right angle. So it's like a new type of end as well. They're, how much are they? I was trying to see how much they are. I think they're about $10 each.
Okay.
Which isn't bad, considering that some of that sort of make your own solderless cable is about the same sort of money.
I forgot, did you get an update on the Fender car?
Yes, I did actually. So it's, we're in association with Volkswagen.
Yes.
And it is a Beetle.
Yeah. Damn it.
And it was the speaker system that they designed, the Fender Premium Audio System, featuring 9 speakers, including a 20-centimeter Fender bass subwoofer.
Yeah.
In the back, and Fender twin speakers in the driver and passenger sides as well.
Wow.
And a Fender Deluxe tweeter. Yeah, crazy. You can have that.
What is it? Is it three? Is it 3 inches to 10 centimeters? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Well, three.
So it's just a 6-inch speaker.
No, wait. Yeah. 3.
Didn't it have some sort of Fender finish as well? Wasn't the car sunburst or something like that?
I can't see that.
I think the one we saw was just black.
I'm sure I've seen like a two-tone sunburst Volkswagen Beetle with like a Fender logo on the back. You know, like where you'd have like, say, at Ibiza or whatever.
Yeah.
It said like Volkswagen.
Oh no,
Fender.
The dashboard is flame maple in sunburst with the Fender logo.
There we go.
And all the speakers say Fender on them. And there's a promo picture of a guy with it plugged into the car.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some sort of like.
Yeah, there's
modeling.
A jack input. There's a jack input on the dashboard.
Yes,
that's amazing.
That's amazing.
When we do the top 10 weirdest amps ever, that has to be number one.
Yeah. Well, actually, funny enough, my girlfriend Amy, who you all know, her dad works for Volkswagen now. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll be like, is there anything we can get a demo of one?
Yes.
It'd be amazing.
They did that in like 2005 or something. Like,
yeah, it's Fender Continued Connect. Yeah, in certain select 2013 models, you could it went all the way up. So I'm assuming you can still maybe get some now. It is still live on the Fender website. So
yes,
I don't know. Maybe you can still get it done.
That's one of our Patreon goals. If we get that many backers on Patreon, we will buy and ride around a Fender Volkswagen. Should we do some questions?
Aren't I the only one who can drive? Oh, no, you can.
I can't drive.
I'm the only one who can drive.
So we'll buy one, and Jay will ride it around, and we can go in the back, and we'll drive.
We can hang on the back on our skateboards.
We'll drive it across America.
Yeah.
In some sort of Thelma and Louise-esque road trip.
Excellent.
We'll go on the lamb.
Okay.
Let's do some questions.
Hooray!
Question.
There we go. We've not done many questions over the last few weeks because there's been a fair bit of news and like loads of stuff to talk about. So I've kind of saved some up. So sorry if your question hasn't been answered already. Hopefully this backlog of questions will get through the stuff that has been submitted to the Facebook group and we've not yet addressed.
Backlog.
Indeed. These are all from facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. Thanks to everyone for sending these in. James says, I'm toying with the idea of getting a Rickenbacker 330. I've never played one, but I fancy a change from my usual Fenders. Any thoughts or opinions? Matt Knight.
I'm going to put it out there. I'm really, really not a fan of Rickenbacker guitars.
You're crazy.
Very, very cool. Love the basses. But I'm just not a massive fan of the guitars.
Is it the
I've just never got on with
super
the way they
lacquered fretboards and that?
Yeah, it's and the string spacing is very, very tight as well. And they just, I don't know, they feel like you have to work really, really hard to kind of like make them work for you. I don't know, I've just never been a massive fan. But however, the basses are amazing.
I really like the 600 series, so the 620 and the 660, the ones that, you know, kind of look like a Telecaster.
That's weird.
Kind of sound like a Telecaster. The 330s and 360s, I've never been a huge fan of. I mean, they look unbelievable.
Yeah.
They look unbelievable. And they, like, they do that sound better than anything else. I think if what you want is to reckon back a sound, the 620 isn't the right guitar. Because even though it's kind of part of the same series, I don't think it will give you the same sound as the 300, as anything from the 300 series.
No, so they've got those like super high output pickups, haven't they? Like, yeah. The 620s.
Yeah, yeah. But I really like the 620s. I think they're really, really cool guitars. But the 300, like, you've got to be...
You've got to commit if you're going to go for the 300 series. Like, they're, yeah. The fretboards are super thin. Like you say, string spacing is like very, very narrow. Matt, I'm completely the other way to you, actually. I really don't like the basses, and I really, really like the 330s. I'm not a big fan of the 360s because I don't like that carved top and the flat back. It's just like,
yeah,
it seems really weird, like just bad design to me. But 330s to me are like, they're in there with like Epiphone Casino, that sort of thing, like really jangly and
yeah,
big body. And if you're into, yeah,
you're just naming other John Lennon guitars.
Well, no, but I mean, you know, I've got good taste. I am not a huge fan of the basses, which is very much
odd.
It's very much down to the fact that he had the coolest one and sold it.
I'm still a little bit bitter about that. But the reason I sold it is that it just didn't work for the sort of stuff that I was doing. I think 330, go for it. Like, if you're toying with the idea of getting one, there is literally nothing else that will do that. Like, the closest guitar is
a Casino.
Is a Casino.
Or a 360.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean...
370.
What's the 370? That's the three pickup.
It's the three pickup one, yeah.
360.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Laura Jane Grace from Against Me plays one.
Is there a three pickup 330?
I guess it would be called the 340, and I don't know.
It is called the 340. Wait.
There we go.
And it is discontinued. I just thought I'd have a quick look on their website. Their website is pretty old school.
Yes.
Featuring some very, very weird pictures. They make acoustics, though. I had no idea.
They make acoustics.
They're discontinued.
Yeah, they're gone. Is there still stuff on there, like the Laredo series?
No, but they have got the model 5002 V58, which was their maple and walnut laminated mandolin with a pickup.
Yes,
which looks very weird.
I bet that costs like £10,000.
Yeah,
yeah. Because I remember when we worked in the shop, we had the model 325 C58 MG,
the old John Lennon one.
Looked like an onion.
Yeah. That was a very odd guitar.
When you start getting up into that Rickenbacker custom shop stuff, like, I mean, it's all essentially custom shop because they make like two a day or something ridiculous, which is why you basically can't get them anymore. But when you start getting up into that custom shop stuff, the pricing starts to go silly, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what was the retail on that 325C?
3699, wasn't it?
Yeah, 3699, I think. Yeah, $3,500-$4,000.
So you're only in the same place as Gibson for custom shop.
Well, you are, and it's probably a smaller enterprise. I would guess, but what you get for $4,000 on the Gibson side of things is like a really, really nice handmade Les Paul, whereas that 325C wasn't perhaps the best made guitar in the world. It was beautiful, but as a working guitar, perhaps not. But
what was the deal with that? The trem on it was really weird, wasn't it?
Had a really old school trem. Matt, can you remember the sort of mechanics of that trem?
I was actually just going to try and pull up a picture of it because I remember it.
I think you had one to...
For all the listeners. Those...
It was like a Maestro trem more than anything, I seem to remember. I think you had to move it to side rather than in and out.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was one of those ones that kind of didn't really do a lot. The Kaufman Vibrola.
Yeah.
It's listed.
Named after Andy Kaufman.
Because it was...
Jim Carrey.
Complete jokes.
Yeah, complete jokes. There we go. Very good. 330s. I'm totally into it. Get one.
Cool.
Adam says, rifling through my wallet and the three usual suspects keep appearing. Then this giant orange monstrosity crops up. Why on earth do I keep it? I sure ain't going to be using this unwieldy dinner plate of a pick. What picks do you use? Oh, and why? I wonder what he was talking about.
Yes, I did.
Yes, indeed. Jay Cross, what's your pick of choice?
I was sort of thinking about this in the run-up to this, and I maybe sound like a bit of a beginner, but I sort of don't have one at the moment.
Now, what's wrong with you?
The problem
is...
Do
you not even have a thickness preference, even if it's not like a brand?
Okay, let me show you what I've got in my pocket right now.
Whoa!
Right now, in my pocket, I've got...
I've got something in my front pocket, for you.
Right now, in my front pocket, I've got two yellow Dunlops.
Wait. So yellow Dunlops are...
73.
That's reasonable.
I've got an 88, a green one.
No, that's not too far.
I've got a 1mm Dunlop. I've got a 1.14mm Dunlop. And I've got a 1.14mm gator grip as well. And I think I've got a 1mm nylon in here as well somewhere. The problem is, I don't pay for plectrums because I just lend them
what?
To people.
Thief!
Because I just lend them to people when they're trying guitars in the guitar shop in which I work. And because I don't pay for plectrums, because I'm lending out plectrums all the time, I simply can't be precious about them. And so even when, I always used to be Dunlop Tortex 88 through and through. I was always Dunlop Tortex 88 through and through.
Best one.
But now, I'm like, my problem is that I give away plectrums at such a rate that I can't be precious about it because if I sit down to play guitar or bass, I might not have one of them. So even when I was playing these shows last week, I just was like, oh, what have I got? There was one that I had a couple of 73s. I had a 1mm nylon, and I think for most of it, I used one of these gator grips. 1.14s.
How can you use that as an absolute dinner plate?
See, look, I've just dropped a plectrum on the floor. Oh, there it is.
And it doesn't even matter. Doesn't matter.
He doesn't care.
But as long as it's within the sort of 73 to 1.14, I'm fine. Actually, I think I might have used one of the 1.5mm ones for a little bit of one of the shows.
You're ridiculous.
I can sort of adapt around it, I guess, to a certain degree. For a while, I did get really, really into the Max Grip, the Dunlop Max Grips, the nylon Max Grips. I really like those, and I really like the 73s and the 88s of those.
They're good.
But I gave them all away. I did actually pay for those. I bought a load of those. I was like, oh, yeah, this is wicked. And I gave them all away immediately. So I was like, well, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Joe Branton.
obviously, I'm
CS3.
Well, 90% fingerstyle.
Of course, but when you use a plectrum,
I think the ones that I go for are just the obvious thing, the thing that I've always used that kind of seems to do a bit of everything, which is the orange Tortex.
Okay,
I think 0.6.
Is it? Is it that low?
Yeah, they're 0.6.
Crikey!
I think I might have one.
Surprises me. They're 0.6.
I think
has literally nothing, no details on it.
Do you need me to tell you what they are?
Are they 0.6?
They're 0.6.
Wow, okay.
I'm surprised it's that thin. But yeah, I use them, I guess. They've always seemed to be more comfortable. You know, I try and get really into plectrums because they're just not something I use. I'm kind of interested by them. They seem like a cool thing that you can have your sound and your style defined by this little piece of plastic. It's like a little thing that it's like a little identity to your guitar playing. I always kind of like that. I tried to get into a few different ones, like the oversized Jazz 3s.
Mm-hmm.
I got some of those recently, but I just can't deal with thick plectrums. And everyone sort of says that bass players are supposed to use these thick plectrums, and I find it really weird because it's just you get no sort of they don't bend around the string. They just sort of hit the string far too hard to get anything other than a really brittle.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Tone off of them. So, yeah, so thinner ones, those sort of around that 0.6, 0.7 always seems to make more sense. I also grabbed a couple of the felt banjo plectrums.
Ukulele plectrums.
And exactly how long did they last?
Yeah, I mean, some time.
Okay.
A couple of evenings of playing. But it was great because it essentially sounded like I was playing with my fingers with a plectrum.
With a pick.
Yeah.
Matt Knight, I know that you've experimented with some slightly more expensive stuff.
Yeah, I have only, pretty much exclusively, whenever I play guitar, I've used one pick, and it's pretty. And I still own the same pick that I bought 2 years ago because they are £7 each. But they're so hard wearing and so durable, it hasn't even worn down yet. And it's by a company called Chicken Picks. And I was lucky enough, actually, recently, the guy actually contacted me because he'd heard me talk about them on the podcast and sent me some more for free.
Oh, there we go. How about that?
Didn't you... surely you disclosed these earnings to the rest of the podcast crew and...
I have got them somewhere. I can give you some, but somewhere. I don't think you like them
it
somewhere.
It will be coming out of...
convenient.
Coming out of your wages, so...
But yeah, I use a 3.5mm chicken pick.
What?
And I now can't use anything else. It's like an extension of my finger. They sound so much better than any other pick. And it was actually recommended to me by someone from the podcast about 2 years ago through Twitter. So,
I saw recently on the Gear Exchange or one of the similar pages on Facebook, someone was selling... one of those sort of ridiculous, like 4mm thick. It was like jade green, and one of those.
Are they the ones that are made in petri dishes?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, someone was selling one for sort of £20, £30, something.
Bare
like that.
Foot picks. There's an 18-month waiting list for those. I think that's what they're called. I know someone at the shop that I used to work with, Jay, bought one. Yeah, he was
Chris had one, didn't he?
Yeah,
really,
one
that's
pick.
Bonkers. Just speaking of like the wearing down though, that is a point, because like if I take like one plectrum to band practice, it's gone at the end. Like,
well, that's it.
Well, yeah, just like, buy.
I mean, of course. But like, if you just use like one Dunlop Tortex, they don't last very long.
They don't. But then they're not very expensive.
But I'd be so concerned if I had like a £30 plectrum. Like, what happens at a gig when you drop that 30, 40 pound plectrum? Like,
yeah,
you would
when,
spend the
not
rest
if,
of the show
it's definitely
a long
when.
Time looking for it.
Yeah, you'd spend the rest of the show freaking out.
That, I mean, that's my argument for the Jim Dunlops. It's like, yes, they wear down, and like, I swear by the Tortex Green. Like, that's if I'm doing a gig and I haven't got any of those, I just need to go and buy a pack of Tortex Greens.
Yeah.
Yes, it will wear down. You'll probably get 2 to 3 gigs out of it, plus some practicing and stuff.
I don't think so.
I mean, if you play with any level of finesse...
You're not playing hard enough.
It costs 50p.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you lose it...
It doesn't matter.
It costs 50p.
Yeah. That said...
Plectrums are like 70p.
No, they're not.
Not in my shop.
Really?
Oh, man. I'm still
overcharging you, Joe.
God damn it.
I've still got my first pick.
No, you don't.
I do indeed. It is a teardrop-shaped... PV medium nylon pick. I got it when I got my first electric, the PV Raptor. There was some picks in the gig bag. Second-hand gig bag. So, in fact, someone else's pick.
Oh, that's grim.
Right.
See, that's what I get. That's where, like, I give them away, because so often I'll come up and speak to someone and be like, oh, yeah, how you getting with that guitar? And I've given them a pick, and the pick's hanging out of their mouth. So I'm like, oh yeah, you can, don't worry, that's a gift, you can keep you that one. But I'm not buying a guitar. Please don't give me the plectrum back.
Yeah.
So anyone who wants to try and get free plectrums from guitar shops, go in, try a guitar out, and put the pick in your mouth when you're talking to the salesman.
That's correct.
Just bypass the try a guitar step and just grab a handful of picks out of the counter and just put them in your mouth and then go, oh, here you go, and hand them back.
Yeah. Don't
they will
do
not
that.
Take them.
Please don't do that.
Do that when Jay's working. Monday to Friday. Louis says, what powered speaker should I use for giving... wait, that doesn't make sense.
Try again.
What powered speaker should I use for giving with a Boss GT100? That's as written. I think it means using.
Yeah.
Currently going through a Fender Hotwood Deluxe, but I want reliability and my amp not to colour the sound. So basically, a PA speaker to use with the GT100. Jay Cross. What's on vogue at the moment?
Matty, you were all about... Have you still got your Laney?
Oh, the IRT things.
One thing I thought I'd mention first, though, has... Do you reckon he's tried just running it into the power... Just going out and then straight into the power amp of the Hot Rod Deluxe?
Oh, that's a very good point, because the you can bypass the preamp section.
Yeah. Because a lot of people, they'll go use the preamp, they'll use the presets, and then the presets will have preamp modelling or amp modelling and cab modelling. And then when you run that into an input, and that's also a speaker, it sounds really naff running cab modelling into a cab.
But I assume from the question, he's saying, I want reliability, and...
Yeah.
Hot Rod Deluxe is, if you've got a Hot Rod Deluxe 3, it's not too bad. Yeah. The 1s and 2s have... certainly been known to have reliability issues, but the latest one's pretty good.
I had one of the 2s and it was crap.
Yeah.
The new ones are great. The new ones are amazing, but the one I had before was not great. And John, if you're listening, I really appreciate the fact that you bought it off me, but,
he's definitely not listening.
But
he's got a baby. He's not going
to
be listening.
He does have a baby. He's not listening to anything. They are great. They are great, great amps. But if you want something, to go down the solid state route, the IRT, you've got one, don't you?
Yeah, Laney IRTX 200-watt solid state power amp.
That's such a great piece of kit.
It's like a PA speaker for the guitarist, isn't it, basically?
Yeah. So you can run it in line with your head and your cab and use it as like another cab or like an extension cab. Then it's got a DI out so you can go straight into a desk. You can run 2-inch stereo, so it will split all your it will split the input into true stereo as well. It's got an auxiliary input for music. At the moment, it sits in the living room. We use it to sort of play all the audio through from our TV for like movies and stuff. Yeah, and it sounds really, really good. So that's a really good thing to have just in general as like a handy sort of little powered.
Is there, let's say that Louis was looking for like a PA speaker, something with maybe a bit more power. What is the kind of current thinking on powered PA speakers? Mackie SRMs, I guess, were kind of always the go-to speaker. What's kind of in fashion at the moment?
I mean, I'm not too hot on PA in general, but... if you want something that's like a standalone unit that you can use for sort of small gigs, I'm all about the Roland BA330. I think that is an absolutely incredible piece of kit.
What's that? What's the BA330?
It's a standalone.
It's like a self-contained PA, basically.
Yeah. So you can. There's six inputs, I think, on the back. There's six inputs on the back, two of which you can. Switch between mic and instrument, so you can use them as like an instrument input, and the other four, I think, if I remember correctly, have only got two. There's four inputs, but they share two volume and tone controls.
So there's stereo ins for like keyboard or drum machine.
Or you can plug like multiple mics. You can plug like multiple mics in, but you can't alter the.
They'll all be on the same level.
That's right. And if I remember correctly, it's even got the COSM technology. So you've got the amp modeling technology built in. So they're really, really good. I've they're super versatile. I sold one to a chap who does who's like quite a regular customer of mine, who does a lot of gigs in like retirement homes and stuff like that, where like you can do you know, you can get away with something that's relatively small, but he only wanted to take one amp. And I also used one for a friend's wedding, and it was loud enough for us to dance to Andrew WK to, with about, you know, 50, 60, 70 people or something like that. You [S2] Nice. [S1] Know, they're not like, they're not super, super loud. It's not going to power, it's not going to be loud enough to power a full band show or anything like that. But if it's just you and an acoustic guitar, or you even and an electric guitar and a microphone, or you want to use something for like... like small home use with True Stereo, or like something cool that you can use as like a guitar amp but also as like a sort of karaoke type machine.
It's very much a multi-purpose.
Yeah, they're unit. Really good. And I think it's difficult because they sort of sit, it's kind of like the Laney RTX. They do so many different things that they're never anybody's first choice. Like, I mean, those RTXs are absolutely incredible units, but like, when was the last time you ever saw one, you know,
being used?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's just a very, very specific unit, isn't it?
I was also thinking, the other thing you could try, if you're just using it at home, is just like KRKs, just like studio monitors.
Yeah.
Because then you get two, you've got True Stereo, full range speaker, you can plug straight into the back. That would work pretty well. If you're not gigging it, that'd be the ideal thing for using it at home.
I was doing a bit of tidying up in my house this week and like selling a load of stuff and going through old boxes of stuff. And I found a Pocket Pod, the one that we've talked about a few times,
yeah.
Which
oh my God.
Served as a base DI. I think what I'm going to do is just hook that up directly to my studio monitors I've got in the other room, and I'll be able to just play guitar in there as well. Sweet. Yeah.
Be able to lull your girlfriend to sleep each night.
Yeah, I mean, all of the presets on there.
As opposed to drugging her.
Yeah, careful.
Crikey.
All of the presets on there, I mean, they are a bit fizzy.
Yeah.
But it'll be fine, you know, as a little alternative to coming in here and setting up a pedal board and amp and stuff like that. Just want
which
to-
is what you do on most romantic
evenings. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Ella will just be, like, you know, on the couch and I'm...
You'll be
the couch,
yeah. Yeah, the couch that we're sat on right now. She'll be reading a book, and you'll be serenading her by playing
"Smoke on the Water."
"Living on a Prayer."
Yeah.
Do you do the key change?
Yeah, I do.
Do you? Joe's just started this new band.
The D sharps.
It's going to be terrible, isn't it?
I can't believe you put the name of the band in. Like, this is the career suicide.
Fine.
You've been kicked out of the band even before you've learned how to play all the songs in E. James says, so going on holiday to Greece soon for 2 weeks, but won't be able to take a guitar with me. What do you think of the chances of finding a really cheap, crappy acoustic just to play on for a bit? Don't think I could go 2 weeks without playing. Do you guys just not play while you're away or what? Has anyone taken a guitar on holiday with them? I haven't. I haven't really been on that sort of holiday, to be
honest.
I haven't
either.
My only holidays are tours.
I can't remember the last time I had that long a holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah. My only holidays are tours, so yeah, I don't have to. But there are convenient ways you can do it. I mean, when we've been like across to Ireland or anything, when we went, it proved to be a bit cheaper to fly. But I really didn't want to send my bass in a hold. I just took the neck off and packed it in my carry-on.
Yeah.
And I think that is actually a really easy option for taking something with you if you're flying. I mean,
put it in a small suitcase.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, it was harder with a bass.
Well, a little,
but you know, if you're a guitarist
even,
and you, and you have a modular,
if you've got a Les Paul.
Yeah, I mean, it will come apart okay, but getting it back together at the
end.
Well,
no, it's fine as long as you've got one of the like the post 2013 custom shops. It's high glue, so it will, you know, just heat it up.
Just heat it up. Melt the glue.
You're fine.
Also buy some spare hide glue so
you're
you can
fine.
Put it back together.
It'd be fine. Don't do that.
Do not.
Please don't
definitely
do that.
Do not do that. Yeah, I mean, I would say that either something small or like if you just want something to noodle about on, why don't you just buy...
Ukulele.
I was going to say, buy something...
I was joking.
Buy something that you're not.
We do not endorse ukuleles.
We do. Sometimes we do. Why not buy something that you're not familiar with? Like buy like a little mandolin,
a kazoo,
or a little ukulele, or like what are the like six string guitar-a-lele? Is that what
guitar-a-lele? They're great. I've got one of them.
What was that little guitar, Matt? The one that was tuned to G.
Oh, a little like Nashville tuning guitar.
The guitar lately's tuned.
Was that the tenors? Yeah. Was that what it was? It was really short necked. I thought it was you that really liked it.
I've got a guitar lately, but it's tuned A to A.
Oh, maybe it was
so
A.
It's just a guitar with a capo on the fifth fret, basically.
Are you thinking of the Epiphone Mando Bird?
No, I'm not. No, it was a really small sort of classic guitar looking thing, but
it's like a tenor. Tenor guitar.
Right, I thought tenor guitars were the four-string ones.
Maybe. Yeah, no, it could be a Nashville.
Yeah, they are.
Nashville tuning's a six-string guitar, isn't it? But the top strings. Three strings are tuned like the top three strings on a 12-string.
No, right, okay. All the strings are tuned.
They're all the octave strings from a 12-string.
That's right, yeah. This was literally just a very short-necked classic guitar, and because the neck was so short, you tuned it G to G in conventional guitar tuning.
Okay.
That was the guitar lately.
That was it?
Oh, yeah, see. Definitely. Okay. But on what you could go for, actually, there is a solution for 99 quid. Washburn do the little Rovers, which are those acoustics with the tiny bodies that will fit in like a normal suitcase.
What about the little Hofner travel guitars?
Hofner Shorty.
The Shorty.
Yeah.
They're electric though, right? So you need to take an amp with you.
What about
Black
those? Yeah, pocket
pods. Pocket pods, you're right, yeah.
What about those Vox guitars with drum machines in them?
They don't exist anymore, I don't think.
No, you can still get them secondhand.
And they're really annoying.
Yeah, there's nothing annoying.
Really bad. They sound
there is
terrible.
Nothing annoying about making a Vox guitar sound like a drum and bass night. What about the... none of us have mentioned the pig nose guitars. Probably the best thing in the world.
What were they called? The LP259 or something? PG259. Little amp built in. But no, seriously, I reckon like a little guitar lele because they play like regular acoustic, but they're tuned A to A and they're really small. Maybe just give something else a try. You're on holiday. Little mandolin, little guitar lele.
Just take an iPad and get an app.
Well, I mean, that is the other option. Make a rap album like you did on your...
Hip Hop Joe. Joe Hop.
I really hope that never makes its way onto the podcast.
How to play the piano on your iPad.
Indeed. Frederick says, I have an old Digitech RP80 for the last 10 years and it sounds like shiz with my little Fender amp. Is it the Digitech RP80 that's rubbish or my Fender amp that doesn't like the Digitech? Now, we've got no more details on the Fender amp.
What's the RP80?
RP80 is a quite old Digitech multi-effects, maybe 10 years old.
It's a classic.
Something like that.
The RP series.
It's basically the same as the... I was going to say, it's basically the same now as the...
255.
No, they still make the RP series. Yeah.
Yeah, 255.
They still make it.
Yeah.
I would say that because we don't know anything about the Fender amp, let's assume that the amp is probably okay, even if it's just a little practice amp.
I mean, what's the worst it's going to be is a
champion?
Or a front man. Yeah. But the front man's a... fine. I mean, the front ones are
serviceable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would say that maybe it's time to upgrade the RP80 because in the sort of 10-ish years that they've been out, things have changed quite a lot on the multi-effects front. What is available now that you'd suggest as an upgrade? Matt Knight.
Did you check RP255?
Maybe that might be too close. It might not feel like enough of an upgrade. What in terms of other brands, what's available?
I would say, to be honest, my favourite multi-effect still is the Boss ME80.
Yeah,
they are brilliant.
It is just the best sounding one out there. It's one of the nicest ones to use, but it is much bigger. So if space is an issue... you could go down to an ME25 or even something like a Zoom G3.
We're going to say the Zoom G3.
They work like simple samples.
Well, that's really interesting that all three of us were going to say the Zoom G3. I mean, Zoom are not really a highly considered.
You say that though, but for the last couple of years, we've been we've had this premonition of a resurgence. I mean, I'm not sure if they're...
A surgence of Zoom
like, being... You know, because, I mean, we're using a...
Yeah, we are using the Zoom H6.
H6, then, yeah.
I did have to double check just to make sure. You know, we use an H6 to record with here. The G3s are, you know, they are the budget version, and really, I'm not sure that many people would, if they've got the money to buy the ME80 and the space to buy a ME80 or a GT100, would go with a Zoom G3.
Well, the but G3 is less money, though.
The G3 is less money. It's a lot more compact. And also, I like the fact that, you know, it's really simple. You can just go, right, I want this button to turn this effect on and off. And it's three pedals.
I think it's the best layout I've ever seen on it. It really changed my thoughts on sort of multi effects. And they do the B3 as well. You can get the bass.
The bass version as well. Yeah. And I think they do a G7 as well. And they also do an A3 for acoustic guitars.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, Zoom do some really, really cool stuff. There was those single pedals, the CD. What was it called, Matty?
The CD70,
CDR70.
Is that the one with the LCD screen?
No, it's MS70 CDR.
Yeah, that one. Yeah,
that's right.
That was a great unit. Zoom do some really, really cool stuff.
They've released this Exxon series now as well, haven't they?
Oh, the G1 Exxon.
Exxons. Yeah, but actually, all Zoom stuff is really, really cheap in the UK at the moment. I think it's a really good time to buy Zoom pedals, because all of them, there's been a bit of a price crash on Zoom stuff.
I really hope that, I mean, I know, I think if we go back through the podcasts that we've recorded over the last couple of years, we've said this, it might just be me, have said this over the last couple of years, I really hope that they run with this, because they do some absolutely excellent, you know, we've got the H6 and even the H4, the little field recorder.
There's a new one, H5, sits in kind of in between the two.
Oh, really? I don't think I've seen that one.
Getting really good reviews.
Not only that, what about is it the RH? You know, they released a digital multi-track.
R16 and R18. That was it. Yeah. In fact, there's an R24 as well.
And they were
great.
They were great. Like the only people really doing something that affordable that's so versatile, such a sort of one box recording piece.
It was
equipment.
So you could record, I think, to SD card, but it would also act as like a sound card for your door. So you could record like 16 ins and then 16 individual outs via USB, and also control the parameters on the actual unit itself.
Which is great. Yeah. What an amazing recording interface. And they made it look all Apple and all white and sort of light grey. And so it looked like something people want on their desk next to their big shiny Mac.
The Rocket pedals are being distributed via Zoom as well, aren't they?
They are.
Is that right?
They are. In the UK,
The UK. So, I mean, part of me hopes that, you know, that Zoom go, okay, cool, you know, people are really into these Rocket pedals, we could probably do something like this.
They used to.
What did they do?
Zoom used to do single pedals. Do you remember these, Matty? They had like four different drive pedals.
Yes, sort of. I don't ever remember selling any.
No, they were not particularly great, but they did used to exist. I think one of them was called, it was either called the Mega Drive, or it was called something very much like the Mega Drive.
Master System?
It was, yeah. It's actually the Super Famicom.
Master Drive.
Indeed.
Mega System.
Maybe that's what, if we ever get around to doing a pedal, we should just call it the Mega Drive. That'd be amazing.
Can
we have a SNES
anymore?
As well?
The what? Does what exist anymore?
Sega still exists.
Yeah.
They just don't make
consoles.
They just do Football Manager.
They just do games for Nintendo now, don't they?
Sonic and Mario at the Olympics, I think, is one of the
Sonic Mario. You know what? A crossover I'd really like to see is Sonic and Mario at the Olympics and Football Manager 2016. Like,
together.
If they could do a crossover.
Okay. Have you ever played Mario Super Strikers? Because
no, I've not.
I think there is a game that you want to be playing.
Yeah.
There is a Sonic the Hedgehog synchronized swimming.
There is.
Game. I love all those like mini games. There's no limit to what situation those companies can put those characters in.
Indeed.
Synchronized swimming with a blue hedgehog.
People will do anything for money. And with that, I think we should talk about Patreon. thank you very much. We've got some new Patreon backers this month. Head over to patreon.com/guitarnerds. You can contribute from as little as, I think, $1 a month, and you'll help us out. $5 gets you access to any, or to a half an hour of bonus content every week.
The top tier means that you're one of our executive producers. And these people have done so. Joe, what sort of backing track would you like this week?
Oh, crikey. Wait, maybe we should do something Sonic or Mario. Maybe
yeah, no, we should... Dale Rasko. Jack Conroy. Will Clare. Chris Wilson. Scott O'Brien. Matt Quine. Fletch Fletcher. Phil Thompson. Moo Gravit. And Colin Anderson. Yeah.
I can't really join in because there's a bit of lag, so I think it would just be a bit weird.
Just rap over the top, Matt.
Our princess is in another castle.
Indeed she is. And that castle is the Patreon content for this week.
Oh, I was talking about Matty.
Oh yeah, he okay. No, he is very much a princess.
Our sweet princess.
Oh yes.
Indeed. If you want to hear more of this absolute guff, head over to patreon.com/guitar nerds, where for a small donation that's helped us this week buy hummus, trail mix and mini cheddars.
Oh, this is the first time I've tried trail mix. It was lovely.
Trail mix in the US, yeah.
Right.
Smarties are in it. Not Smarties.
M&M's?
Maybe M&M's. M&M's or Smarties. Really weird.
I don't think that's real trail mix.
I know, it's bonkers.
Mix is all red.
It's absolutely bonkers. I went to the shopping centre with my girlfriend when I was over at her house in Philadelphia, and they had this, like, 2 kilo bag of trail mix. And I was like, Smarties? She's like, yeah, what of it?
Go get that sugar when you're out on the trail.
Don't make any sense.
Thanks very much for listening this week. You can follow us over on Twitter @GuitarNerds or jump on the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/GuitarNerdsForum. If you want to get an extra half an hour of this every week, plus some other unspecified rewards, we were talking about doing a little special. Let's not mention any more than that.
We had a couple ideas.
Patreon.com/GuitarNerds, where you can help us out by donating, and we give you extra stuff every week. Mm-hmm. You can also go over to the website, guitarnerds.net. We've not been doing much there recently, but Joe's got some stuff going up
this week or next.
And the YouTube channel. YouTube channel's gone bonkers. YouTube.com/guitarnerdsvideos. You can follow me on Twitter @Mark_random. You can follow Matt @Matt_Nightsy. You can follow Jay @JBN1.
JAYBN1.
Or Joe @Joseph_900. Do spread the word. And I'll tell you what would be great, actually. If you could just give us some 5-star reviews on iTunes, that would be really good. Helps people discover the show, helps more guitar nerds get involved with this whole shebang, and
it helps carry on the lie.
Indeed, that we know what we're talking about.
What are we talking about in the next one? So I don't have to load up the email.
This week's Patreon content is a question that came in. What are the 5 most important guitar albums ever made?
Oh, I'm into this.
Big time.
Okay.
Join us over on Patreon for that, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.